about how to, which other opportunities there are besides selling the wine in the United States. Of course, it's not a surprise that we have 90% of the people in the other room because they want to sell the wine in the States. And just a few people are thinking on selling in Europe, in Brazil, because specifically the owners that are here in the conference are really focused in the American market. We have talked a lot about how to sell wine here, how to brand the wines in the United States, but we consider interesting to also take a look to what is the opportunity in different markets, and the vines has to do it as a main project, because more than 30% of our owners are not Americans or don't live in the United States. So specifically Brazilians, which are today 20% of the owners, and they're growing. In the last 2 years, 50% of the new owners came from Brazil, and a few Europeans, they are really interested in knowing how the market is there, and which are the logistics. I'm not an expert on this. I took the responsibility of of taking a look to this, and I gotta tell you, it was very helpful to me to understand. In my family winery in Jimenez Grilli, the person in charge of marketing commercialization is my brother Federico, so maybe he has more experience in this, and he does the work of selling the wine. The family sells in the United States, in Mexico, in Brazil, and in Europe, with a central base in Germany, selling to four or five different countries from there. We don't sell in Asia. We sent a few cases a couple of times, but there was no continuous flow of wines to the Asian market. We don't sell in Russia, but we understand that those are also potentially interesting markets. Definitely, we know India, China, can be a very big opportunity. So it's almost impossible to take a look to the whole world, but I think we shouldn't. We for example, in the case of we produce, the family makes 10,000 cases a year. So it's significantly more than any of the vines producers, but it's still small. And even being more than 100,000 bottles, we don't feel we need to focus in more than three or four markets. Because for the size of our winery, it would be a bad idea to spend money marketing. We don't have the resources to go to China three times a year. That's the only way to develop the market there. So what we decided to do, sorry, I'm talking again back after the case of the family, but I think it's a good, has a lot of similarities, what can happen to some of you making wine there. We decided to focus on the market that we consider more accessible, and for example, for the proximity to Brazil, because we have some connections in Europe where we can do it. But Mexico, for example, could be a very interesting market, but we decided to leave it aside for a while until we have the opportunity there too. So we'll take a look to some markets quickly, and all of them outside the United States. And this is the context. Total wine exports, $500 million for the first semester of 2013. So it's going to be $1 billion of the year. A part of this is bulk wine. And out of the bottled wine, exports go to five main destinations. 70% of that wine goes to US, Canada, United Kingdom, Netherlands, and Brazil. This tells clearly what is the focus, or what should be the focus of a small winery before going to doing a deeper analysis. If you are a PV owner and you live in Sweden, probably that's the market you should address because you have all the connections and contacts there. So leaving aside the specific cases, in general, for Argentine wine, these are the markets that are being more developed. But there are some opportunities, as we will see, for example, that is today Denmark. For some reason, Argentina has been very successful in the last 5 years. It's growing 30%, last year 70%, and today only Denmark is 3% of the total of Argentine exports. So that's a niche, that's the word, that could be explored. And places like Denmark can, the same thing can happen with one state in the United States, for example. The state of Texas, or even in California, if there is more development of Argentine wines or knowledge, it's interesting to focus on that if you have a small production. This is the total of Argentine exports, and you can see clearly how the United States is by far the main market. We have done many analyses about that, and we are not talking about that here. But after that, Canada, Brazil, United Kingdom are the most important markets. Then some European markets, Netherlands, Russia, Sweden. And in Latin America, all the countries together do a very small number. So it's not relevant, or it's not a market that should be considered as the main market for a small winery. And then we have the Nordic countries, the case of Denmark I was telling, that represent 3% of the total, almost all the wine going to Denmark. So only Denmark is more than 2% of the total of Argentina. We saw this yesterday with Nora, the Wines of Argentina woman who made the presentation. This is very interesting for us. The leading segment is for the more expensive wines. So today, out of the $500 million exported, almost 50% was for the higher end wines. This is 40 to 90 and 90 and more. So all the wines we produce in the vines are in this range, in this segment. Then we have another information. Sparklings made in Argentina, they go mainly to Chile. Brazil remains stable, growing in still wines, red and whites, but not in sparkling, because Brazil is a big producer of sparkling wine. Actually, is the Shandong has a big winery there, and if there is one product that has quality in Brazil in relation to the whole wine production, are the sparkling wines, because of the weather. And the almost 60% is Malbec and Cabernet Sauvignon. That's the information about what type of whites are exported. Very few sparkling, it's mostly red and bi-varietal. That includes almost always Malbec. But almost 70% is single varietals. That's very interesting about the market. So in general, outside United States, Brazil, outstanding growth in revenue and volume. We have seen that for years. It's nothing new. In the last 10 years, it has become more clear that Brazil is extremely important market for the Argentine wines. In Europe, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, it was not clear, and the opportunities seemed bigger. But with the economic crisis of the last years, it's really challenging. So only specific countries might be a niche where it's worth focusing, but places like the United Kingdom, the UK, where still is growing. What is happening is that they are growing, but in a low price segment. It's very four distribution companies or supermarkets. They sell 85% of the wine that is sold in the UK. So it's very difficult to access that market as a small winery and with high prices. And in Asia, so surprisingly, in the last 2 years the situation didn't improve, remained stable, and the reasons are still to be defined, but it looks like the market is being developed very slowly, and you got to do a big investment to introduce your wines there. So what is doing the industry is going there as a group, and the government is investing in promotion, but still very few wineries are solid in terms of brand recognition. In the Asian market, they recognize better the French wines. There's no knowledge about wine, so it would take some time to get to that point. It's definitely a huge opportunity because of the power, the purchase power that is growing, and the number of people, right? But it still is not, it's not very interesting. Well, Brazil is, as I said, a significant export market for Argentine bottled wines. And the reasons are basically the economic, the main one, the economic growth of the country and the strength of the Brazilian currency, the real, compared to the peso. And the most important permanent factor is that the middle class or low class is moving to middle class and moving up. Clearly, we see that we've been going to Brazil to do business and sell private vineyards for 5 years. And you can see every time you go, the growth in infrastructure, more flights, more internet connections, the cars. So that people that 10 years ago was drinking only beer is moving to wine. And in practice, in 2011, Brazil became the third largest export market for Argentine wines in value, replacing the UK, and the fourth in volume. And very importantly, 10 years ago, Chile was 10 times bigger than Argentina in Brazil. Right now it's just 50% bigger. So Argentina is little by little getting to the same numbers that Chile got after 20 years of marketing and exports. It's the third US destination in dollars, $55 million. 2012. This is very important, 2016, very soon, the wine import market will represent will grow 42%. So if are just not growing proportionally, Argentina will have a better performance in terms of total numbers because the market is growing. And 80% of the wine consumption in Brazil is of Brazilian wines. But that 80% is of the table wines, of the cheap wines. Of the 20% that is imported, of the total of premium wines that Brazilians drink, 80% is imported. So almost all the wines that they drink in the higher end levels are not Brazilian. They're just small quantity, especially the sparkling and those. And Argentina and Chile together had 60% of the import market. 182 Argentine wineries with more than 800 wine brands in the market. We see that when we do events, they are super familiar with the Argentine names, brands. They travel. That's an important thing that is not here in the presentation. They are doing a lot of tourism to Mendoza as a So they know in person the wineries, the brands. That's helping a lot. They like much better to travel to Mendoza than to Chile, that has a very little developed tourism wine industry. And the main competitive benefit of Argentina and Chile in relation to the rest of the world is that Brazil has super high taxes, crazy. Wine that is sold at $3 in Argentina is sold in $20 in the shelves in Chile. So it's two times the increasing cost that you have to in the United States. From $3 in the United States goes to $11, $10 to $12, in Brazil, the same wine goes to $20. That 27, so it's even worse in the case of wines coming from Italy, from Spain, that are the main competition after Chile, that are the main players in the market after Chile and Argentina. And here we can see the, more clear now, here now, the percentage of Argentina, Chile and Argentina in the Brazilian market, so the total is 60%, and after that comes Italy with 17%, and Portugal, because of the heritage of the, and the language, the Portuguese wine is very strong in Brazil. But definitely Argentina and Chile are far from the other ones, and there is a big opportunity. And this is something that we need to consider, and we have seen in the presentations. The average price per case was $20 in 2007, and it's $34 in 2012. It's a huge increase. That's mainly for the inflation problems in Argentina, because it's not possible to sell anymore at the average of $20. But at the same time, it's good news, because it means that there is a market for that more expensive wines. The average price per case is still low in relation to our costs in the wine, but probably 90%, 80% of the wines are in the lower range, and 20% in the higher, which is a smaller volume, so the average is still low. But there are a good number of cases that are sold in the $50 to $100 per case range. That is where we are. It's great news for us. We're in the right location. Mm-hmm. I would have been showing this if the Vice of Mendoza was in San Juan. So when they think about high quality Argentine wine, they think about Mendoza, definitely. And in Brazil, it's clearly concentrated in Sao Paulo region. I don't know if you have been in Sao Paulo. There's 30 million people in the state. It's probably a little bit more, 35 million people. 20 million live in the city and the area. It's a huge market for many things. It's like it's much bigger than many countries. The number of business that is done there. So it's a very big opportunity to go and do a work of just focusing in that place, having a distribution system. So you don't have to do a national distribution as you have to do in the United States to have a presence. Basically, just working in Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro is enough to get into in that market. And we see the vines a clear opportunity of opening a tasting room as the one we have in the city of Mendoza, doing a small local distribution wine clubs. So we're exploring with Luca Saviagle, who is the person in the vines, who is the country manager for Brazil, exploring with some partners or doing directly some kind of business where we can take our wines and potentially the wines of the Prado vineyard owners. Because of that, because we just doing business in Sao Paulo is seems enough to sell small quantities as the ones we produce. And this is what I was saying, that out of the total consumption, fine wine is a little bit less than half. And out of the fine wines, $110 million or $140 million total are imported wines. So the Brazilian production is not really competition for the type of wines that we produce. Canada, very interesting. Because they love Argentina, they love Argentine wine, they love Malbec. And the number is very big. It's after the United States, that has almost 35% of the gets 35% of the exports that get out of Argentina. More than 10% are exports to Canada. So you live there. You are there, right, Adolfo?
Yeah.
And probably the challenges are the logistics and the regulations. So it's something that needs to be navigated and explored, but the market is really strong. They consume four times more Argentine wine than Americans in proportion. So it looks that the Canadian market is more fond of Argentine wines, more knowledgeable, and according to the research we did, Malbec is the favorite variety of the Canadian market. So they're very familiar with it, with the grape. China, good growth over the last years. It is important market for Argentine exports. It was not relevant 2 years ago, and it's becoming little by little one of the main markets. Last year, 130 wineries sold wine to China, compared to almost half 3 years before. But here you see how it's not that clear. They buy Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot from Argentina, not Malbec. Because it's those are the varietals they know. Very low knowledge about wine in general, right? And there are strong marketing promotion programs. And we feel that without the official programs, it's very difficult to get into China, unless you are a big winery, like Concha y Toro, Candu from Chile, or three or four wineries from Argentina, Zuccardi, Trapiche, Norton, going there, having a structure, investing millions of dollars in promotion until they get into the market. So it's not that that is not interesting from a macroeconomic point of view. Unless you have something specific to do because of your relationships, we don't see that it's very easy to go there and explore the market, and especially because there are other opportunities that seem to be more interesting. And in general, they look for elegance, distinction, good quality packaging, because they don't really know about the quality of the wine yet. And Denmark is a specific case I was mentioning, that has high consumption per capita. Only as a country is number 11 in exports in 2012. The total exports in the year are going to be $20 million and growing, and the growth rates were 40%, 39%, 87% in compared to 2012. Mexico seems to be a big opportunity. The biggest opportunity is this one. Wine consumption was 27 million liters in 2010, 50 million in 2012, and it's going to be 180 million liters in 2018. It's growing crazy, mostly because they didn't drink any wine before. And it's a similar case to Brazil. The middle class, the younger generation is moving towards the wine, and it's clearly more consciousness about the health issues of drinking the hard liquors that they do traditionally. So even for health reasons, people are moving to wine as part of the change of the diet, right? And they have a local production. 30% of the wines are Mexican wines. But they have significant problems with the water to produce. So the Mexican market will rely almost completely and entirely on imported wines, especially in the high levels. We've been there trying to sell. The winery sold for 4 years in restaurants, but something that happens in Mexico is, well, they had problems with the economy, more instability that makes very difficult to predict medium and long-term strategies. And the other thing that is a little bit different to Brazil is that the business environment is informal, it's more difficult to do business, it's a little bit riskier in terms of having problems with bills unpaid, all that. It's a little bit tricky, but interesting because of the growth that is going to have in the next years, and it's having now. And the United Kingdom, this is what is the killer, right? They grow, but it's in the really, really low range of prices, under $10. If you see the, well, they have some problems.
Huh? They drink too much.
It's growing, they drink wine. And it's very relevant in terms of total number in relation to the exports of Argentina. It's 15% of the total, I don't remember the figure now. But it's of very low price wines, and it's stagnant. It's not moving up. So it's not clear that it's going to be an opportunity there. Probably there is for the big wineries who sell the big volumes there. So the $24, if you can make wine for $2 a bottle, you sell for $220, okay, maybe you sell 2 million, 3 million bottles. And the supermarkets, the big supermarkets, they have so much power. So they basically control your production. And so similar in China, the barrier is maybe the distance, how big is the market, how do you do to make your brand known in that market. In UK, the challenge is the price. And it's very little you can do with that.
Mm-hmm. Is it not all a matter of marketing at the end of the day? I mean, Santiago was saying he's been quite successful in the UK.
Yeah, you have some specific cases. I'm not sure about the volumes that Santiago can sell there. Maybe you can sell in the, for example, Gaucho import.
Okay, but we're not about volume, we're about a status point. Right?
Yeah, I know, yeah. But it's a market where you introduce your wine and say the price of my bottle is 12 FOB. They listen to you in Brazil, they listen to you in Denmark, in the United States, but in there is, this is the experience of the small boutique wineries trying to sell there. I've been talking in the last year to other producers. They say, one of my first wine shows was the London Wine Fair in 2003. And then I went again in 2005. So we did a big effort. And it was some opportunity. Some of us introduced the wine for others it was more difficult. But in the last year I was talking to the same guys. We've been going there for years, they say, every time it's more difficult.
You should fire them. Yeah. Some new guys.
I think the London market is different. Like Santiago's wine is in Harrods, for example. Mm-hmm. But outside the London, it's in two different markets, I think, in the UK, really. Outside of London, it'd be very difficult to get those prices.
Yeah, and Santiago is a very special case. We saw the numbers yesterday. It's $150 a case average, where the average of the industry is 40. So it's really far away. So I'm sure it's a sophisticated market, and they want the best wines from different countries. So there is of course, there is an opportunity if you get there.
Because the difference is the ones that buy them at Sainsbury, for example, and at the grocery store, right, $48 whatever pounds. And then you have the high end. I mean, they're importing huge amounts of good French wine.
And probably the problem is that the Sainsbury's the name? Sainsbury and the other three big
Tesco
chains, they do more than 80% of the wines. Okay. The opportunity is going to the retail, the smaller retail stores. Maybe in London this is an opportunity. I'm not saying there is no, we have two owners selling wine there. But they do the same thing we have been talking in the last day. They do direct sales.
Yeah.
So they sell to their database, and yeah, of course, there is an opportunity there. In general, this is showing how the markets are for more commercial wines, right? To understand what is the structure of the world market and how Argentine wines do in the rest of the world outside of Argentina. But I think in any country, when you have your wine, even if it is at high prices, if you have to sell 2,000 bottles, yeah, the way to go is the direct sales, basically. Okay, that's it.